Jerusalem, Acts 21:17-22:22. When we arrived in Jerusalem at the end of spring in 58 AD, the brothers welcomed us with great joy. That day Paul was with us as we met with Jacob, the brother of Jesus, and all the elders of the community of Jesus in Jerusalem. Paul hugged and embraced them all, and then began explaining everything the Creator had done among the nations through his hands. After listening to his report, they began praising the work of the Creator and said to Paul, "Brother, you can see that there are now thousands and thousands who are living by faith in the way of Jesus, while also being fiercely devoted to the temple and to following all the commands of Moses' law. But all of Jerusalem has been told that you teach all Israelites to stop following Moses and not to circumcise their children or walk according to the cultural customs of our people. What then will the people of this city do when they hear that you have come here to Jerusalem? Therefore, we have a plan you need to follow. We have four men among us that are completing a time of dedicated prayer. Take these men and go through ritual cleansing with them, paying for their offerings and making sure they also shave their heads. Then, hopefully, everyone will see for themselves that there is nothing to the rumors they have heard. They will see that you are following and guarding the law of Moses just as they are. Don't forget, however, that we fully support you, for we ourselves wrote the letter to the trusting apprentices from the nations, ordering them to only keep away from these cultural practices of the Roman Empire, trusting in human technology, using others for sexual pleasure and social gain, and eating meat from the empire's abusive meat industry." So that very day, Paul submissively took the four men with him and began the ritual cleansing process. He did this in the hope of maintaining the delicate peace between the apprentices of Jesus and the rest of the Israelites in Jerusalem. When the 7 days of cleansing were completed, Paul entered into the temple to present the offerings on behalf of himself and the other four men. Just as Paul was about to complete the process, some unfaithful Israelites from the region around Ephesus saw him and began stirring up the crowd against him. They grabbed Paul and shouted, "Men, Israelites, help us! This man is the one attacking our people, the law of Moses, and this sacred temple. Everywhere he goes throughout the Roman Empire, he teaches against the core of our identity. He has even brought unclean Greeks into the temple and has thereby defiled this divine place." They said this because they had previously seen a Greek man from Ephesus with Paul in the city, and they just assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. This message stirred the city into a frenzy, and all the people began rushing together. The unfaithful Israelites grabbed Paul and dragged him outside of the temple in order to keep it from being further defiled. Then the doors were slammed shut. While they were doing this and were getting ready to kill Paul, news of this large riot quickly made its way to the commanding officer of the local Roman soldiers. He immediately rallied his soldiers and military officers and charged toward the riot. When the crowd saw the commanding officer and his soldiers coming upon them, they immediately stopped beating Paul. When the Roman commanding officer was within grasp, he grabbed Paul and instructed him to be bound with two chains. Then he began angrily asking who Paul was and what he had done. The people in the crowd began shouting answers and arguing with each other over what exactly had happened. Unable to get a straight answer because of the angry crowd, the Roman commanding officer ordered Paul to be taken back to the Roman military compound. When they got to the stairs, Paul had to be carried by the soldiers because the crowd was following them and forcefully grabbing at Paul. The crowd wouldn't leave them alone and was shouting, "Take him away!" Right as he was about to be taken into the Roman military compound, Paul said to the Roman commanding officer, "May I speak to you?" Startled, the Roman commanding officer replied, "You know Greek? I thought you were the revolutionary from Egypt, the one who refuses to have anything to do with Rome or the Greek language, and recently led an uprising and has been hiding out with 4,000 daggermen in the wilderness." Paul said, "I am an Israelite from the city of Tarsus. I am begging you, allow me to speak to the people." Thinking Paul could calm down the anger of the crowd, the Roman commanding officer permitted him to speak. So Paul stood on the stairs and motioned for the people to quiet down. After most of them became silent, Paul spoke to them in their own language of Hebrew, saying, "Men, Israelites, listen to what I have to say to you." Hearing that he began speaking to them in their own treasured language of Hebrew, they began paying more attention. Paul then said to them, "I am an Israelite who was born in Tarsus but was raised in this city with fierce devotion to the temple. I was trained in the law of Moses and in the teachings of our forefathers at the feet of Gamaliel. I am fiercely devoted to the Creator's love for our nation, just like all of you. Because of this devotion, I hunted down and even killed the followers of the way of Jesus, throwing both men and women into prison. The leader of the temple caretakers and all the patriarchs of the rich and powerful families witnessed this about me. After receiving letters from them, I began a journey to Damascus in Syria in order to arrest the apprentices of Jesus and bring them back to Jerusalem for punishment. But when I got close to Damascus at about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly covered me. I fell to the ground and listened to a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you hunting me down?" I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" He said to me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth. I am present within my followers, and you are hunting me down." Those with me saw the light, but they could not understand the voice that was speaking to me. Then I said, "What should I do, Lord?" The Lord Jesus said to me, "Get up and go into Damascus. There you will be told everything you need to do." Because the great light from Jesus blinded me, I was led by the hand into Damascus by those who were traveling with me. A man named Ananias, who was well known by all the local Israelites for his devotion to the law of Moses, came to me and said, "Brother Saul, may your eyes be opened again." At that moment, I was able to see once again. Ananias then said to me, "The Creator, whom our forefathers worshipped, has handpicked you to know his will, to see Jesus raised from the dead, and to listen to his voice. On his behalf, you will be a living witness to all humanity of what you have seen and heard from Jesus. So what must you do now? Get up and be baptized into Jesus' new way of life. Wash away the disobedience of your old life and call upon his name." After returning to Jerusalem, I had a vision while I was praying and saw Jesus saying to me, "Quickly, leave Jerusalem, because they will not listen to your words about me." I said, "But Lord, I would be a great witness to them, for they are well aware that I went into all the synagogues and arrested and whipped those who trust you. They know that when your servant Stephen poured out his blood in witness to your way, that I myself was overseeing his death. Through me, they would see your radical work of transformation." But Jesus said to me, "Leave Jerusalem. I will send you as a witness of my truth to the nations." The crowd was attentively listening to Paul until he said this, and then they immediately started shouting, "Remove this man from the earth. He is not fit to live."